comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Now, those of you who were watching or listening to our show on Monday, you remember that I reported to you we were having some electrical weirdness here. Not electrical weirdness in the computers and in the equipment, but the electrical service was browning down. It would get weak and then stronger. It would get weak and then stronger. And it was enough that it interrupted the television broadcast, and we had to restart that software. It was enough that it interrupted one of our affiliate feeds. But, to the radio. But anyway, because of that, I was not sure whether we would have software and computer glitches last night. There's no way to know, really, unless you turn it on and actually broadcast and do something with it and put the load on it. And so for yesterday, I moved the guest to another date. I kind of screwed up our schedule because of that. But anyway, last night we did an encore presentation and replayed the interview that I did with Peter Lindbergh, and lots of you enjoyed that, and I hope that some of you that didn't get in on that broadcast the first time got it last night. But I did the encore presentation so that I could sit here and watch the systems and make sure everything went flawlessly, and it did. So, anyway, that's done, and I'm back with you live tonight, and glad to be back with you live tonight. And we are going to do something that we do every once in a while, and that we do it about once a week, and that is we will go open line later in this show. But I have two very important topics to present tonight, and I hope that you are able to watch the show. Now, if you cannot watch the show, if you're wondering, well, how do you do that? Well, you join. You become a member. And then that's one of the things you can do is watch the show live each night. Keep in mind that it is a radio show, and that means that if we do have some kind of problems, as we did on Monday night, we give the priority to our radio streams. It is a radio show. But as a member, one of the added benefits is you get to watch as we do this radio show. And that's pretty cool. If you're not a member, fix it. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight, we are going to take a look at the topic, as you have seen on my website, you are still under attack. Now, there's why is this important? There's a reason for it. The reason it's important is because you are important. You're not a resource. You're a living, breathing human and an individual. And you have free will, and you are important. Now, we live in a world that wants to process us all into just talking about us as, you know, we're a resource. Government and politicians talk about our greatest resources are our people. And everybody cheers. Well, pardon me, I am not your resource. That implies that I can just be compelled to be used in any way that someone out there chooses to compel me to be used. No, I'm not a resource. You are not someone else's asset. Now, you may be someone who has a great many skills and someone who has a lot of knowledge, but you're not a resource. You're not an asset. You're a person, and you're important. And it's highly important and vital that we all know and understand how perception manipulation, which is another way of talking about mind control, we all need to be aware of when that's happening and how that's happening. We might know why it's happening, and we might not know why it's happening. Nevertheless, we need to be able to recognize when it is happening and from where it's coming. It is the only way that you can prevent yourself from being manipulated into just being a resource on the shelf of some politician somewhere. Or it doesn't have to be a politician. There are other people that do this. There are organizations that do it. And so it's very, very important that we're able to identify it and that we can see it and we understand that's happening. Over the past few days, our good friends over at NASA have released a photograph that has the world just going gaga over it. It is a photograph taken, well, actually, this is a composite photograph of 817 photographs taken by the Opportunity rover up on Mars. And it's a panoramic view of the Martian landscape there at that spot where the rover was parked. And the Internet's just gone gaga over this. Now, I want to say to those of you who are listening to the show, as well as those of you who are watching the show, the photograph that is under discussion and the subsequent photographs that I'll be using about Mars are in an article that I have published. You can find it over at UFO Digest. They've published that article. Or you can just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, look on the right side, and you'll see where it says KSS News, and the very first article listed is it. And so the pictures are there, and so if you're listening, you can look at those pictures, and you'll be able to see what we're talking about. And if you're watching, of course, they're on your screen, but you need to read that article anyway. And by the way, don't you read the KSS News stuff anyway? And comment on it at the bottom of the articles? You don't? What's wrong with you? You can fix that. those articles are there for the same reason the show is here, because you have a right to know and because you matter. So this photograph that NASA has released is a big panoramic view of Mars, and people are just gaga over it. I wasn't really going to do a show about this, and you know, I wrote the article, and I also posted not the article, but I posted a little bit about this in our forums, in the Kevin Smith members community forums, and posted the photographs there. So why did I decide to do this show? Because I realized from watching all three places where I posted it, people were not paying attention. You weren't paying attention. And it's important that you pay attention. Things are happening to you, and they're happening to you on a daily basis, and as long as you're ignorant of what's happening, you're defenseless against it, and you become a sheeple at that point. Now, if you decide you don't mind being used like a resource, that's your decision. But it ought to be your decision. And that's the point. So this is all about helping you elevate this to a point where you are in control of your mind and your thinking processes and what you know, instead of somebody else being in control by means of perception manipulation. So this photograph is pretty cool, and we have kind of a light sandy red Mars, and then we see some greens and some blues off out in the distance, and it's pretty cool. Well, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know that I have talked about and demonstrated and done a whole seminar called Mars, the Fading Fog, which you can get on our website. I've done all of that where I've talked about how NASA, for whatever reason, I mean, I don't know all of what's the reason for why they do this, but they install a red haze in virtually every picture they release to you, unless it's black and white. If it's a color picture from Mars, it has a red haze in it. Now, you might be saying, well, I don't see any red haze here. Well, that's because you're not really looking. So let's really look. Take a look at the sky. What do you see up in the sky? Don't you see that it has, that sky has a slight reddish tinge to it? It isn't blue, is it? And it isn't bluish white. And yet, you and I know now that the sky on Mars looks virtually like the sky on Earth. But this sky has a reddish haze to it. Now, if you were standing right at the spot where the Opportunity rover is parked, and if you were looking around, and if there was a light red fog all over the place, then it would look like this, maybe. Because as you look through fog, you know what happens, don't you? I mean, you may still be able to see the features, you may still be able to make out things, even at a distance. But they become a little bit hazy and blurry. And the colors become a whole lot less vibrant, don't they? In other words, the fine details of the scene around you are obscured by that light red fog, and that's what happens in these photographs. That's what's happened in this photograph. Everybody's just gaga about this. Well, if you're gaga about this, hang on. Because when you see this photograph with that red haze taken out, you are going to be astounded. Now, why would they install this red haze? Now, how do I know they installed it? Because if I can remove it, somebody installed it. It wasn't there in the original photograph. If I can remove that red haze, then it's been installed. It is a fog that has been installed. And can I remove that red haze? Well, as a matter of fact, the answer to that is yes. Now, hold on to your socks. I mean, really, you need to reach down and grab the top of your socks on both feet, because they are about to exit if you don't. Are you ready? The picture, the exact same picture with the red haze removed. All we did here is we have auto-leveled this picture. Now, auto-level removes the red filtering, returns the picture to what the camera saw. Now, you've heard me say on many occasions that Mars is not a deep crimson red in most places. I have said in most places it's just kind of a sandy red, like out in the southwest desert here in the United States. But that there were places, a few places around, where it is pretty crimson, just patches of it. But overall, it isn't a very red planet. In this particular spot, it's red. It's in this particular spot, it's about as red as what we see, well, if you travel here in the United States to Atoka, Oklahoma. Now, the soil around Atoka, Oklahoma is a crimson red. And it's about this color. It's about the color of what's there on Mars. But I want you to look at not just the difference in the color here. I mean, all of a sudden, the colors are much more vibrant. But look at the difference in the detail that you can see. Because you see that fog that NASA installed on Mars obscures fine detail. Look at the difference in the detail that you can see between the two pictures. Now, NASA's picture that they released to you is what's on the screen right now. I'm the one who put the label in the sky that says red haze visible in the sky. And if you had not noticed it, then you will notice when it goes away. That is what NASA released to you right there, this foggy, washed out, sandy, reddish picture. But the picture they had, the one that NASA really has, is vibrant, clear, fine detail. And just compare side by side. Now, on the screen, for those who are watching, what I've done is taken a portion of the left side of that picture, where the little hill is there, and look at the difference in the detail that you can see once that red fog is stripped out of there. Now, this is dramatic. This is dramatic. This is not a little difference. This is dramatically different. Well, there's a mystery about this. And the mystery always has been, why are they doing it? Well, usually, whenever I deal with a photograph like this, I've been able to find some real anomalies in the photograph that were obscured by the red haze, by the fog. And so I could assume that's why they wanted that to be obscured. They didn't want you to see that anomaly, whatever it was. Well, in this picture, I've been from side to side of this panoramic view, and I don't see any real anomalies in this photograph. Maybe you do. Maybe you will be able to find some anomalies in this photograph released by NASA. I would suggest if you're going to look for these anomalies that you put this into your put the photograph into your processor, into your software, and auto-level it and strip out the red haze. And then you'll have a crystal clear picture like I got when I did that, like the one on the right here on your screen. And then look for the anomalies. I did that. I don't see any anomalies in this photograph. Now, maybe they are there, and maybe I missed it. That's entirely possible. But I just didn't see anything that jumped out and said, well, this is what they didn't want you to see. So the question then becomes, so why are they doing this? For what reason would they install this fog like this? What do you think? Well, we'll find out a little bit about that in a few minutes. But I have to tell you, what I think is, and this might be wrong, but what I think about this is the reason they issued a photograph to us that is all hazed and obscured and fuzzy, when what they really had was crystal clear and vibrant color. I think it could be this. See, NASA has released to us so many, many, many photographs over the years that are intentional disinformation, where they've monkeyed with the photographs. And I think if NASA were to start releasing to us just the straight photographs, without that red haze and fog and obscuration in it, if they were to do that, instantly around the world, people would start saying, hey, have you noticed the difference in NASA's pictures? Instantly, people around the world would wake up to the fact that NASA's track record has been issuing disinformation. And folks, when you have a crystal clear picture like the one on the right, and you issue to the public the one NASA issued to the public, that's disinformation. Would you agree, as you look at these side by side, that the one NASA issued certainly does not measure up to the one with the fog gone? We'll be back right after this.
Listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm talking about this picture that NASA has released of Mars, a picture from the Opportunity rover. Actually, it's a compilation of 817 photographs that have been stitched together to create this composite. And what's on the screen is the picture as released by NASA. And that's a problem. It is a problem because what they actually have is much different. Now, you might say, well, how do you know they actually have this? Because I could not get this, the picture that is on the screen now, the vibrant color and the crystal clear fine detail. You can see small rocks on the ground in this picture. And there's no way I could get this if that data was not there. It's there and has been obscured by the red haze. And the red haze is dramatic when you put it side by side with the one that has the haze removed. The red haze becomes rather dramatic, and you can see what was done. Now, this is, if the information that NASA has is as we see on the right, which it is, or I could not get that. All I did was click auto level, and all that did was strip the red haze out. That's it. And then we can see what NASA saw. So if I can get that, that means NASA had it. That's in there. That is their picture with their haze gone. So the question then is why? Why are they putting this red haze in there? As I said, usually I can point to, you know, anomalies in a picture. I can say maybe that's why they did it. Not in this case. I don't see any anomalies. Maybe there are some. Maybe you'll discover some. I didn't discover any. Maybe you will. But I can't point to a reason and say, well, that's why they obscured it. That's why they made it where you can't see the fine detail. I don't know why they did it. And as I was saying, the only reason I can think of for why, perhaps, maybe, why they did this would be because they're trying to keep people from discovering their actual track record. Their actual track record is that they have been issuing disinformation via techniques like this. And now let me ask you something. Let's be honest about it. When you look at these side by side, now if you're not able, if you're not a member and you can't watch the show, I told you where to go and see the article that has these pictures in it, including this picture that's up now, the side by side comparison. When you look at them side by side, would you agree that since NASA really had the one that's crystal clear on the right side, and they issued the one that's fogged over on the left side, and that's the one they put out to the public, would you agree that your perception of that scene is dramatically different from picture to picture? Would you agree that your impression and your perception of that area of Mars, we'll just list it as A, is A with the picture as NASA released it to you. And your perception of that area of Mars is now B when you look at that same picture, that same area with the red fog gone. Would you agree your perception of that area of Mars is changed by whichever picture you're looking at? And yet this is exactly the same picture. That's the point. This is exactly the same picture, but it has been manipulated before it was released to you, and that manipulates your perception of that area. Now, I don't know why, other than maybe NASA just doesn't. You know, there is another possibility. There are anomalies on Mars, and not just weird geology. There are buildings on Mars. We have seen them. And NASA perhaps doesn't want you to know really how clear their photographs are. And in fact, what you're looking at where I've removed the fog and you're seeing crystal clear, that's probably only a tenth as detailed and clear as what NASA actually really has. But, you know, they don't want you to know just how clear their photographs are that they have, because then you would want to see those crystal clear photographs around those anomalies as well. So maybe that's it. Or maybe they're just trying to keep their track record of disinformation covered up by continuing it even when they don't really have to. I mean, there's nothing here, in my opinion, there's nothing in this photograph warrants trying, why, nothing answers the question why they would want to obscure it. So there has to be some other reason, unless, as I say, unless you find some anomalies. But this is dramatic. This is a dramatic example of perception manipulation. This is intentional, in my opinion, it is intentional perception manipulation. It is, in my opinion, a purposeful, intentional attempt to give you a perception of this area of Mars that is not correct. And that's disinformation. Well, as I say, you have a right to know. And you matter. So when someone is doing something like this to you, you need to know it because you matter. And you need to back up and ask yourself a question or two here. Why are they doing this to me? Why have they attempted to give me a perception of this area of Mars that's unreal, that's not true? I don't know why, but we need to ask that question. And we need to ask it until we get answers. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but if we never get answers, we never quit asking. I mean, they need to understand that. They need to understand that it's never going to cease. The unmasking of their perception manipulation and the exposure of what they're doing is never going to cease. Even if I keel over dead before the show is over, someone else is going to be doing this. Someone else, many someones, unmask NASA's perception manipulation and disinformation, and they expose it. And there's no way to stop it. NASA needs to understand that whatever the reason is, here's some breaking news for you guys at NASA. It's not working. It isn't working. Why don't you give it up? Why don't you just start showing us the real stuff? And why don't you just start telling us the real truth? Now, I talk about it frequently, and sometimes I show the picture of it, and I will now, and that is NASA built an airplane to fly on Mars. Those who are watching are seeing a picture of the actual airplane. This is not an artist's conception of the airplane. That is it. They built it. It is an artist's conception that there's that they put Mars back there behind it, but because it did not fly on Mars. It was built here on Earth. It was test flown here at very high altitude on Earth. And they intended, they actually had the mission on, and they intended, had they had it scheduled, to fly that airplane on Mars. They tell you and me that Mars has an atmosphere that's 0.7%. 0.7%. It's not 7%. It's 0.7%. That means it's not even 1% of the density of the atmosphere on Earth. And you've heard me do this before. They tell us that the gravity on Mars is something like, I've read a lot of different figures, 35% all the way up to 50%, but let's just make it 50%, that the gravity on Mars is 50% of what it is on Earth. Well then, whatever this airplane weighs on Earth, on Mars it weighs 50% of that. And whatever air flow over those wings it takes for it to have lift on Earth, it takes 50% for that to happen on Mars. And according to the official story, you don't have it. According to the official story, you don't even have 1%. So how are you going to fly this airplane? The only reason they didn't do this is because they had some budget cuts and they had to move some things around. And they launched a communication satellite with the money that was going to this mission. And so this mission never flew. Well, never went to Mars. The airplane flew. They built it. They actually built it. It flew on Earth. But they never sent it to Mars because they had to move some money into out of its program into another program. And so it never made it. But the point is, they spent the money designing it, testing it, building it, and then testing it. And they fully intended, they scheduled it. It was a real mission, and it was going. And just some budget stuff kept it from getting there. Why would you build an airplane to fly on Mars if you can't? And if that atmosphere is 0.7%, you can't. You take the weight of that aircraft, whatever it is, take it to Mars, and whatever the gravity of Mars, if the gravity of Mars is 35% of what it is here on Earth, then you have to have 35% of the airflow that you would have on Earth in order for that airplane to get lift, because it weighs 35% of what it did on Earth. So the dynamics are scaled proportionally. The flight dynamics are scaled proportionally. And I've had people, you know, honestly, I've had people tell me, I've had them call in, I've had people email and tell me, oh yeah, the scientists worked it all out and you could fly. No, you can't fly it without air. You can't. It's an airplane. You can't fly it without air. So why am I talking about that when we started off with this picture from Mars? Because it's a very graphic example of the disinformation I've been talking about. They know things about Mars they're not telling. That's the point. They know lots of stuff about Mars that they're not telling us. I don't know why. We haven't been able to get to the why yet. But we can show graphically, vividly, it's happening. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we've been talking about this NASA thing. I think I've made the case, and you know, if you've taken the time, well, if you're watching the show, if you're a member, you're watching the show, you've seen the photographs, and if you're listening to the show, those photographs are available. As I said, you go to my website and look on the right side, and you'll see where it says KSS News. The very first news article is about this, and those pictures are in that news article, and so you can see them. If I hope you took advantage of that and took a look at them. And keep in mind that the only thing that I did, I took NASA's picture as they gave it to us. I loaded it into my photo processing software. I clicked on auto level and it removed the red haze. And now we can see what NASA saw. That's the only thing that I did to it. Now, I want to move to some perception manipulation in the media that is happening now. This is a now story, okay? about UFOs. And this one, I'm going to deal with an article that really is a transcript of a TV news report. And so the article itself is a transcript of what you see in the news report. And this news report was on Fox News. And so this one is, I'm being pretty careful here with what I say and how I do this, because I am both going to criticize and praise this report. Now, this report, first is, you know, it's Fox News. And they have what they call a junior reporter program, where they have kind of like some apprentice reporters, and they're training them. And this young lady is Michelle, let's see, how do you pronounce it? Macaluso. Michelle Macaluso. She, if you watch the video, she did a really good job with this. And what it is a report on UFOs over California, particularly in the San Fernando Valley area. And so they interviewed Jeffrey Gonzalez. Michelle interviewed Jeffrey Gonzalez. And he talks about strange things in the sky, UFOs in the sky over San Fernando. I talked with Jeffrey today and about this, and I asked him how the interview actually went down, and he described for me how this interview went down. The reason that, I'll come back to that, but the reason that I'm interested in this is because the headline that shows up on the internet with the article is misleading. The headline, in fact, is simply not true. It's just not true. But what's interesting about this is there's one headline over at Fox News, and there is a slightly different headline over at Discovery News. Discovery picked up the article, put it on their site, and it has a slightly different title. Now, at Fox News, it is this: UFO triangle in California is alien hotspot, believers claim. But when it gets over to Discovery News, it becomes UFO triangle is alien hotspot, believers claim, and then a subtitle. The subtitle says that some believers in California claim that aliens, it's a popular place for aliens stopping. You know, it's a popular stopping place for aliens. But in both of these, both headlines, UFO triangle is an alien hotspot, believers claim. If you read the article, and the article is just word for word with what's in the video that Fox News produced and I suppose aired, there's not one single place in that video or in the article where anybody claimed alien anything. Not one single place. Now, keep in mind that this is not an article, at least I don't think it is. I don't think it's an article that Michelle, and what's her name? Michelle Macaluso. I don't think she sat down and wrote this article. It's a transcript of what went out on video, on TV. So she would not be the person responsible for the headline, I think. And the indication of that would be, first of all, the fact that it is a transcript of her news report on TV. So somebody else wrote the headline. Plus, plus the fact that we see one headline at Fox News and a slightly different headline at Discovery News. That indicates to me that the news organization itself, Fox News, wrote their headline to put it on the internet. And Discovery News wrote their headline to put it on the internet. I think that's what happened. So what I'm going to say, the negative things I'm going to say, and I am going to say some negative things here, does not apply to Michelle. She did a crackerjack job of just reporting this straight. Okay? Now, I do have one thing I want to point out to Michelle, and just for you to think about, Michelle. At the end, you ask, are you a believer? Are you still a skeptic? I kind of understand the ambiguous sort of nature of that question, but the point is, Michelle, if these things exist, there's nothing to believe. When it comes to UFOs, wherever they come from, whoever's driving them, doesn't matter. If they are there, they are there. There's nothing to believe. If cameras get pictures of them, if video cameras videotape them, if they are reflecting light, and they are if the cameras are getting them, then they are there. So there's nothing to believe. You know, and now I'm going to say something that sounds a little blunt, but it's not aimed at Michelle. The stupidest question you can ask about UFOs is, do you believe in UFOs? That's like, do you believe in Volkswagens? If they're there, they are there. There's nothing to believe. So keep that in mind for future reports. But this was a great report. Michelle did a fantastic job. It's a great report. She was straight ahead, no giggle factor. She reported it as news and just gave you the facts. And that's great. And I would commend Fox News for producing this report. They tend, like all major news media, to have a lot of giggle factor when they talk about UFOs. But they're not quite as bad as some of the others. They have it, but they're not quite as bad as some of the others. And I commend Fox News for producing this straight-ahead report about UFOs in the San Fernando Valley. I think... Scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 9.9. Remove the thing about believe and I give it a 10. It really is that good. We need more of this, but need to sort of tighten it up just a little bit on terminology. But other than that, this is really, really good. But then when they decided to put this online, somebody had to write headlines. And when whoever wrote this headline really goofed, because there's not one single mention in the entire report about this being an alien hotspot. Perception manipulation. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. Tonight we've been talking about perception manipulation, and I've been showing you it's still happening. Now you might say, well, it's just that thing with the news story, that's just somebody goofed. Okay, maybe, I don't think so. But here's how this works. You see, people don't read anymore. And when they do, they don't think. They feel a story. So, what happens is, and how do I know people don't read? Well, if you go to my website, you'll see I have now installed big buttons on the website because I can put a link on the website that's 4 feet tall and people won't read it. And I get email from people saying, you talked about go to your site and do this and do that, and I can't find the link. I get email from people that say, I can't see how to listen to your show. And right in the middle of your damn screen, it says, listen. You click it. People don't read. They feel. And they don't think. They feel. And so they see a headline, and yeah, they read the headline, and they scan the story. They don't read and think like we used to. So they read this headline, UFO Triangle is Alien Hotspot, Believers Claim. Well, there's no believers in here, and nobody claimed anything about aliens. But you read this article, and you see Jeffrey Gonzalez's name, and another guy is mentioned as well. And then later, the name comes up, Jeffrey Gonzalez, and people go, he's that guy that believes that aliens are coming to Fresno, California. Well, he never said that. The media did. Again, I don't think Michelle did this. Somebody at Fox News came up with that headline. And then over at Discovery News, they added to it, saying that some people, claim that they believe that California is a popular stopping place for aliens. Nobody, there's nothing in this article, there's nothing in this news piece about that. Nothing even related to that. But this is how the media does it. They invented flying saucers. That's where the term came from, and it was never, ever was described as a saucer-shaped craft at the time when they invented it. I showed you the picture of Kenneth Arnold, and he was holding up a picture of what, a sketch of what he had seen, and it's a bat-winged craft, circular around the front, but bat-winged on the back. It has 3 points on the back. That's what he saw. But the media came up in reporting what Kenneth Arnold said he saw. They called it flying saucers. They invented that. And they are the ones who invented little green men. And here they are inventing the impression that there are some people in the Fresno, California area that believe that, and that claim that this area is a popular stopping place for aliens and that it's an alien hotspot. Nobody said that. So this is perception manipulation by the media. And I give Fox News kudos for having Michelle on their staff. I give them kudos for the report she did. I give her kudos for the report she did. It was good. But then once it goes beyond that and somebody's dealing with, let's put this on the internet, somebody came up with this title, and whoever did that's a jackass. And because it's totally untrue. If you read the headline and then read the article, they're not even related to each other. But people feel an article. They feel information. They don't think to get their information. They feel it. That's the way, and that's why you're in the mess you're in. You're in the mess you're in because you're feeling your way along through life instead of thinking your way through life. That's why you're in the mess you're in. That's why the country's in the mess it's in. Because people are feeling along. They vote for who they feel would do a better job. Unless you're God, how are you going to know? I mean, all you can do is check track records. And those aren't even important anymore. And the politicians know the track records are not important because you're not going to read them and you're not going to check them. And the same thing happens with UFO information. People are feeling their way along. And that's why we have this marshmallow mess in the UFO field that we have now. Because people are feeling, well, it felt extraterrestrial. Okay. But this article doesn't, nobody in the article claims to be a believer, and nobody in the article claims to that this is alien craft. In fact, Jeffrey Gonzalez makes the point that, you know, we got a lot of military bases around here, and a lot of this stuff might be secret military aircraft. Does that sound like somebody's claiming that it's a popular stopping place for aliens? So both news agencies here, Fox News and Discovery News, really need to take a look at who is in charge of writing these headlines for stuff that's going on the internet, because I'm going to tell you something. This is foolishness, and it really is embarrassing for you. If this were not such a straight-ahead good report by Michelle, then I really would be scorching this. But she did such a good job with this that I have to give kudos for that. And she should be congratulated and applauded for that. And in fact, you know, you ought to communicate that to Fox News. Go over and watch the video and communicate to Fox News that she did a great job with that. But at the same time, mentioned that their headline that they used on the internet is false and not even related to the content of the piece. But she should be applauded for this. And Fox should be applauded for putting this together and making it possible. But this headline, you're still trying to manipulate us, Fox. And Discovery News, you tried to manipulate us even more. And when you do, well, I'm going to catch it. And if I catch it, I'm going to expose it. All right, we're going to go to open line, and we will talk about any topic that you wish to talk about. And, you know, if you want to talk about the Mars thing, the picture that NASA released and that I have talked about tonight, we can talk about that. If you want to talk about this news story that Michelle Macaluso, Michelle, I'm sorry, it's a name I have never heard before, and so it doesn't just come to the top of my mind and the tip of my tongue. I'll get there, though. Michelle Macaluso, if you want to talk about that article, we can talk about that. You want to talk about any shows that we have done? You want to talk about shows you wish we would do? Topics that you have been reading about? As long as it's within the genre of the strange and unexplained, we want to hear from you, and we will talk about it. 623-444-5889. And if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, then you can go to my website and scroll down, and you'll see a link. You'll get to the picture about tonight's show, and you'll see a link right above it that says Flash Message. So you can call us from anywhere in the world, but if you are outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can send us a flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Kevin, it's fun hanging out outside the sheep pen, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It sure is. Listen, both these two stories are so closely related because They both relate to techniques that they use to keep the sheep inside the sheep pen, you know, to keep mm-hmm. the walls up. They use neuro-linguistic programming. Part of the, you know, there are seven pillars to this thing. And the media and technology, science, that's all part of it. Education, that's part of the matrix that surrounds us and keeps the sheep blinded and, you know, keeps them inside the pen. And, of course, Fox News and Discovery are both part of the major media, and mm-hmm. all the mainstream media outlets out there are owned by, there are just five different corporations that own them all.
Mm-hmm.
Now Rupert Murdoch, of course, as we all know, owns Fox, and Rupert Murdoch has been getting a lot of heat and a lot of bad press from the powers that be lately. And I think for that reason, Rupert may feel empowered to give his listeners and watchers a little taste of what lies outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he probably knows he can't break entirely away yet. So he has these bozos that work in the boiler rooms, you know, these cubicles that have to assign headlines to different stories that make sure it's not too far outside the reservation. Therefore, you know, they have to continue this false dichotomy of things like believer versus skeptic, you know, when they apply it to UFOs. You know, you're either a believer or you're a skeptic. Well, nonsense, you know, as you mm-hmm. have pointed out, that's complete hogwash. You know, you either know they're out there because you've experienced them, or you don't know because you haven't experienced them. And, you know, there's no sense in introducing that, except that if you're a person who's experienced them and you talk about them, then they lump you into the believer group, and that delegitimizes you.
Yes, and they don't apply that to any other area of life. For instance, I have never seen or experienced the Eiffel Tower. But I have seen pictures of it and heard testimony of people who have been there and been up on it. Okay, so I can accept that we have evidence that says the Eiffel Tower actually exists. But they won't let you do that with UFOs. You know, even if you've never seen or experienced a UFO, there are photographs. There are miles and miles of footage from military aircraft gun cameras of UFOs. There are miles and miles of tape that have the air traffic controller radar data that show them. And there are people that have seen them as well, and there's photographs and film. So I can accept the fact that they do exist. They are real. The evidence says that.
Absolutely, Kevin. And so many of the people who are witnesses to these things are very credible people in other areas of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these are senior military officers and non-commissioned officers, or they're people who have been active in the intelligence community, or they are well-established scientists in one field or another.
Or
but
astronauts.
As soon as they step into that UFO field, you know, well, they're reduced to the level of cartoon characters by the media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so valuable what you're doing, Kevin, with your show. You're showing that the wallpaper that the media puts up is starting to crack and peel at the corners, and people like to pick at those things. And you start picking at the curling corner of the wallpaper, you start peeling it away to see what's actually behind it. And that clarifies the vision a bit. Now, it may be just more wallpaper, so let's peel that away too. Or eventually, just poke through the doggone thing and see what's really out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's so valuable about what you do out here, Kevin, is you point out the cracks in the wallpaper, the peeling that's there, and then, of course, it's up to the individual listener to begin to explore and peel away this stuff. So you keep up the good work, Kevin, and maybe more sheep will get out of the pen.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Thank you for the call.
You bet, Kevin.
All right, Steve from Georgia. I mentioned flash messages as well, so don't forget that. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you may send us a flash message. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We have Chris Calderon from Mexico with a flash message who says, and by the way, we have a sizable audience in Mexico. He says, hi, Kevin. What do you think about the Higgs boson particle found recently? Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. Beyond the fact that it's interesting, I'm not sure that it changes anything. It may change some things. Even the scientists involved said the same thing. They said, we don't know what practical use it is yet, but it could develop into something as dynamic and paradigm shifting as the Industrial Revolution. Well, it might, and that's okay if it does. But right now nobody knows what real, honest, practical use it is. But I will say this about it. They actually have not, to the best of my knowledge, and I've been keeping up with this, they have not actually observed the Higgs boson. What they have done is they said, we see the footprints, the evidence of the boson. They haven't actually seen the boson. Now, I could be wrong about that. Maybe they have by now. But they see the evidence of it. Well, isn't it interesting? Stephen Hawking is talking about Higgs ought to receive the Nobel Prize. And I do know this. He was talking about Higgs should receive the Nobel Prize at a time when for sure they had not seen the boson. They had seen evidence of the boson. And I think we're still there. I don't think they have seen the boson. And they were saying, we're not even sure it's the Higgs boson. I didn't know there were other types of bosons. I'm not even real sure what a boson is. But I know it's real small and rare. Apparently there are multiple types of bosons because they're not even sure this is the Higgs boson. And he's saying, Stephen Hawking says, well, Higgs ought to receive the Nobel Prize for this. Okay, I'm not opposed to that. But don't you find that interesting? We have evidence of the boson. We do have evidence of the existence of the boson. Evidence. But as yet they haven't seen it. But Higgs ought to receive the Nobel Prize. We have way more than that kind of evidence for UFOs. I was just talking about it. You know what we've got? You have years and decades and centuries of testimony, millennia of testimony of eyewitnesses who have seen UFOs. They've seen things in the sky. They don't know what it is. That is an unidentified flying object. That doesn't mean it's extraterrestrial, though it might be. If it's unidentified, you don't know what it is, you don't freaking know where it's from. We have decades and decades of photographs of these things, and before that we have drawings that people made, and before that we have rock drawings and paintings that people made, depictions of these things. And now we have literally mountains of photographs and literally miles of official footage of them, video and film. Evidence, mountains of evidence. And they say, well, you have no proof they exist. They have evidence that the boson exists. Oh, let's give Higgs the Nobel Prize. Guys, you need to pull your head back out into fresh air. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Jeff from Tennessee.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, I got no doubt that they have seen evidence of the Higgs boson and the quote, God particle, or the discovery of the Satan particle.
Well, if you have matter antimatter, you have boson antiboson, so I guess that would be the Satan particle.
And as far as Steve's comment about being inside the sheeple pen,
yeah,
I've been outside of that and downwind of that for years, and it doesn't smell too good.
No, the odor from the sheep pen is pretty horrific, for sure. Jeff, you've taken a look at these photographs that we've dealt with here tonight from Mars. I want to ask you your opinion. Why do you think they did this?
I'm pretty much aligned with your theory. With it that you know they've stitched together a whole lot of these pictures. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's in my opinion, and which take it for what it's worth, I think it's one of the best photos that NASA's released to us. But like I say, I think that the major problem is it didn't apply the same filtering to all of this stuff, then it would raise somebody's eyebrow somewhere.
Well,
and I've looked over and over and over. I don't see any anomalies myself, other than the fact that there seems to be some vegetation
could
in that
be.
Picture.
Yeah. Hey, can you hang on just a moment? We have to take a break.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, hang on. We're going to step away for this break, and we'll be right back.
Show, a place where you can get information that's out of this world.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have Jeff online. So, Jeff, you were saying that you think that perhaps the reason NASA released that foggy picture, which everybody went gaga over, look, this says something, folks. If you went gaga over this picture and you said, well, that's one of the best pictures they've ever released of Mars, you're right. It is one of the best pictures they ever released. But I showed you why, in fact, that picture is not the best. It's one of the best they ever released, but it's not the best they have. They have installed fog here. And Jeff, you were saying that you think maybe it's because if they had not done it with this picture, it would cause too many eyebrows to raise. And I agree with that. But they've got to know, first of all, I guarantee you NASA's listening to the show tonight. If we look at the server logs, we're going to find NASA there. A bunch of NASA computers. Okay. In addition to that, that means they're there every night. So in addition, it means they got to know I'm going to catch this stuff. But they also have to know, I'm not the only one they're monitoring, they have to know other people catch it too. So what makes them think they can get away with this, Jeff?
I don't think they really care at this point. I mean, they're covering up some crap. Even with the untouched photograph, with what they released, it leads somebody to believe that, wait a minute, all of a sudden, we've shown all these pictures of the red planet. It looks like something out in the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Red soil, red atmosphere, all this stuff. And, they've got some contrast problems and everything else, but, there's still color in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that raised the question. And, to me, I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I think perhaps if they would release the un-Photoshop, for lack of a better term, pictures, that people on this planet may start thinking, hey, this other planet out there may be inhabitable, may have been previously inhabitable. And given our level of technology, we're geoengineering the planet right now. We're spraying chemicals and aerosols up in the atmosphere. It's not beyond comprehension that we could go to Mars and start messing with that whole thing and perhaps make it inhabitable if it's not right now.
Well, you also mentioned that you see in this picture where I put it into the photo software and clicked on auto level, and it strips out the red overlay. When it does that, you said in that picture where the red haze has been stripped out, that you see what looks like to you could be vegetation. Describe for us where you see that.
Oh, there's a lot of green things that are running up sides of hills.
Mm-hmm.
Early on when NASA contracted, I don't know if they did specifically, but Cornell University wrote all this software to make all these pictures and, take the raw data and turn them into actual viewable pictures. I had access to that original software, and I started downloading raw data images from NASA, from Mark itself, and I got to tell you, what I saw had a very blue skyline. It didn't have all this red hazy stuff. And know, over the last few years, they've removed access to that by people. But, you know, I looked at the photographs that NASA posted. I downloaded the raw data images. I ran it through Cornell software. And lo and behold, it didn't look anything like the pictures NASA posted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you this. Since you had access to that and you were able to see what NASA saw as opposed to what they released to the public, when you look at these side-by-side pictures that I've put up here tonight, the one where I've stripped out the red haze, does it look pretty much like what you would expect to see in that software you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a lot closer to what I would expect to see,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Well, I don't know why on this one, because I don't see any anomalies in the picture. Again, folks, you know, go for it. Take this picture, put it in your photo software, and see if you find any anomalies. I didn't see any. Jeff didn't see any. So I don't know why they installed the fog here other than to keep the disinfo going or the perception manipulation going. Because once the world wakes up to what NASA is seeing and realizes that's not what they're letting you see, once that happens, NASA can't keep, they're not going to be able to keep this up. They're not going to be able to keep the secret anymore. And I'm not sure what the secret is other than, Jeff, you've heard me say, and you're a smart guy, very smart. You've heard me say conditions on Mars are not what NASA's been telling. And I've presented my evidence, which is actually NASA's own evidence, their own data. I've presented and shown that the atmosphere cannot possibly be as thin as they tell us. There is liquid water from their own data. Now, they're admitting it now, but, you know, 5 years before they were admitting it, I was saying there is liquid water there. Their own data shows it. And, you know, so this has been going on for a while. And, you know, it's plain to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it's plain to me, it's clear to me, that Mars is not what they have described.
Oh, no, I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reasoning for that, who knows? I mean, they may have speculated early on and found out they were wrong. And, you know, just...
But here's the thing. The question then is, they found out, let's say they speculated, and then found out they were wrong. There has to be some reason, there's something that it is a benefit to them to keep this disinformation going instead of just coming out and saying, well, surprise, we thought it was A, but we found out it was B. No, instead they found out it was B, but they keep telling us A. So there has to be some benefit to them to do that. What do you suspect it is?
I'd say if it's anything, it's to let us know that, you know, they've been spreading all this stuff about global warming.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, and I'll be the first one to admit I don't disagree with climate change, but I'm very reticent to believe that we have upset the balance of this planet. And if we were to know that there's another planet in our solar system that was achievable, that we could reach with what technology we know to exist,
uh-huh.
that perhaps a lot of people would view things a lot differently.
You know, we have Dr. Harold Klein saying, And he's the founder of astrobiology at JPL. Dr. Harold Klein, we have him saying, after the Viking mission, the Viking lander mission to Mars, what we found there was something like 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources. He said that. And I play it every once in a while here on the show. I play the recording of it. We've got that. We've got the fact that the Mars Phoenix mission up at the North Pole of Mars, the scientist running that said that soil is just like the dirt in your backyard. You could probably grow asparagus in it. We also have up there where they say the atmosphere is way too thin and too cold and there can never, ever, ever be liquid water, right there on the leg of the Phoenix lander, photographs taken by the Phoenix lander of water droplets forming, liquid water forming on the leg of the Phoenix lander. So, I mean, we know for sure that what we're being told, using their own data, we know that what they're telling us isn't the truth about Mars. And you're saying that it might have real social implications if everybody on Earth knew that, you know, we could move to Mars, or some of us could. It's livable. You think that would have social implications?
Possibly move back to Mars.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But,
it could be that.
You know, you got to call into question why one Hollywood movie that was sponsored, there were many hundreds of thousands of dollars poured into this movie, had actors remove, when they were stranded on Mars, remove their helmets and realize they could breathe all of a sudden.
Yeah. And, by the way, the hundreds of thousands of dollars poured into this movie that you're talking about were poured in by NASA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Mission to Mars, folks. That's the name of the movie. Was it Gary Sinise? Is that his name?
Yeah, Gary Sinise. I believe Val Kilmer was in that one.
Mm-hmm. Good movie.
It was an excellent movie.
Yeah. And
I don't know I necessarily buy it, but, you know, when you start looking for clues in these things, you know, our space agency, using our taxpayer dollars in the U.S., poured money into this and provided technical research data. And the next thing you know, these guys are stranded on Mars, and they think they're going to die. They pull off their helmets and realize they can breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It is. It is. We have a break taking over. Jeff, I'm going to have to run along. I want to thank you for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left, and I'd love to hear from you. Maybe there's some other story that you would like to talk about other than what we have talked about so far. We can do that. It's open line. All you have to do is give me a call at 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We have a flash message from Jeff over in Australia regarding the Higgs boson, and he makes a good point. He says, it's the time of the year for new scientific funding. The scientists have to come up with something to make the money men think they are doing something. Yeah. You're right. I had not thought about that angle. That's a good point, Jeff. Thanks for the flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Victoria from Washington.
Yeah, Victoria.
Yeah, I just called to tell you about the title of the movie you were talking about. It was called John Carter of Mars.
It's Mission to Mars is the one that Jeff was talking about. But I have seen John Carter. And
of
it
course.
I have seen both. And,
okay.
Yeah, and John Carter, that movie is really amazing.
Let me tell you something about the movie, John Carter of Mars.
Uh-huh.
It was written by Edgar Rice Burroughs
right.
in 1911.
Yep.
And the movie, you know, was pretty, it was a pulp magazine made into a novel back then,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a different year, but, you know, that long ago. And, you know, pretty much tells the same story. Of course, they have the, you know, visual effects that are pretty good these years,
yeah.
which they probably didn't have then. But it's still the same story theme and, you know, the same action and all of that. And it gets teleported. And, I mean, the stuff that was written back in 1911 is translated to... at 2012,
you know,
almost 100 years later, and it's a contiguous story. You know, it's like there's no gap in detail, which I thought was pretty surprising because everything, especially from your show and Richard Hoagland's, everything that we've heard about Mars. It's a part of this movie, John Carter of Mars.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to call that in, and that's all.
Okay, now, before you go, you know, Tesla was alive in 1911, and
yes.
Tesla had some experimentation where he actually sort of experienced some teleportation. And this is something that doesn't get talked about a lot. But he had sort of the rudiments of teleportation going then. And so I wonder if Edgar Rice Burroughs was familiar with that part of Tesla's experimentation. Do you know?
I don't have any idea about that, but he does talk about how John Carter, who was the character that lived on Earth, got you know, transported to Mars through this mysterious process, which is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about how he never aged, and he wondered how come he never got older on Earth, and it was kind of a mystery to him because his friends would come and go and die and get old and all, and he was still the young person. Which, in the movie, it kind of reveals the idea that he was from Mars, that he had this real long lifespan, and that he had been transported from Mars to Earth, and then he just went back to Mars.
Right.
But that's the movie, and I'm sorry if it's a spoiler for anyone.
Oh, no, there's still plenty of stuff. There's plenty of stuff in that movie that you didn't talk about that will raise their eyebrows. So, if you haven't seen John Carter, go see it. It's a good
it's
movie.
It's a great one. And I tell you, you sit there going, this was written in 1911, 100 years ago, and it's just like today. It boggles the mind.
It's
like they had some kind of time travel, magical globe they could peer into. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Good points. That movie, John Carter of Mars, if you haven't seen it, you should go see it. Really, you should. Some of you watch Netflix, it's probably there. Some of you watch Hulu Premium, or Hulu Plus, I think it's called. It probably is there. But you ought to see it. it's worth it. And Victoria makes an excellent point there that, you know, the basic core of this movie is that book written in 1911. And it's as up-to-date as you could imagine, even now. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John from Phoenix.
Hello, John.
Welcome to the show again.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to go, I just was sitting here listening to the show and talking about, you know, the different things about Mars and the color that isn't being showed truthfully. And we know that the same problem exists with the moon.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why we haven't got a rover on the moon. It would certainly be cheaper to get it there.
Well, I don't know why. I have speculations as to why. And, of course, those speculations go right straight back to why did we cancel going to the moon when we had two more missions already paid for? One of them was already built, and the astronauts already assembled and trained for that mission, and they canceled. I think what we have heard from Maurice Chatelain, who was the director of communications for all those Apollo missions at NASA, I think that's correct. He says in his book that we were told not to come back, and that's why that happened. You know, we were told not to come back in no uncertain terms, and so we didn't go back.
Answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, NASA is now in conversation, I believe, with Canada and maybe some others about building spacecraft to go to the moon again. The article didn't say that it was manned spaceflight, so I don't suspect it is.
Yeah.
But I would suspect the reason that we're not doing anything in space anymore is basically we went out there, we messed up. The geniuses in Washington wanted to weaponize everything that they found in space. And they got told at the moon, you're persona non grata. Get off and don't come back.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, they're spanking you. We're spanking your hands, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got whacked.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But it would be nice. I mean, and I was just going to say that, you know, it would certainly be a lot simpler and cheaper to run a rover around the moon, and the powers that be, you know, would leave us alone. We could explore the parts that weren't important, but if we've been told not to come back, then...
Oh, if they'd leave if the powers that be would leave us alone, we wouldn't be broke, and we wouldn't be stupid, and we wouldn't be slaves. I agree. John, I have to go because we're out of time. Thanks for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for this evening. It's been good to be with you. I hope you have enjoyed this evening's show, and remember, every single day you are under attack by people trying to manipulate your perception, and that is another form of mind control. Open your eyes, open your mind, and think. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.